News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setter is at the proper spot on the other side of the glass. He's our great producer, so he's going to be here this week taking good care of us on Sunrise and on The Mark, the WKOK live telephone talk show. So we're very grateful for his help and hard work. Don't forget, we have a blockage on I-80 eastbound right now at mile marker 222. Prior to the Danville exit, lots of folks getting off at Limestoneville. State Police, just pure guesstimation, about a two-hour slowdown there. But they're working on that. Tow trucks doing their thing right now. Then they do a cleanup, and then people start to trickle by. Those kinds of accidents. Two tractor trailers, no injuries reported in that incident. In the newsroom with us now, Kimberly Smith is here, the safety press officer from PennDOT District 3O. She's been keeping us up to date about important outreach and information and child safety seats and seat belts and advisories and stepped up enforcement. And you need a new stick, you know. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Good morning.
Always great to see you. And Mike Deal is here, Community Traffic Safety Coordinator with the Highway Safety Network. He does comparable jobs, but really just make sure that all of the businesses and schools around here and us on the radio get to find out about safety initiatives and reminders and making sure that there's a continuing flow of information to keep drivers safe and to remind them about seatbelt usage and so on. So welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in. Good morning. We're going to start out talking about seatbelts. This is critically important, and since we're headed towards the Thanksgiving and this big party Wednesday night that America has now, I guess it's mostly young people. Tell us about that party. We'll start with Kim and the fact that it's a good time to start to talk about impaired driving and seatbelts again.
Right. So they call it Blackout Wednesday because it's
it has a name.
Yeah, Blackout Wednesday. And it is, of all the days of the year, it is the day that we see the highest amount of impaired driving crashes. And it's been attributed to a lot of people coming home to where they grew up, meeting with their friends at the bar. Everybody's off for Thanksgiving, so they're out late, they're having some drinks with their friends, and we see an increase in crashes. So we'd like to come out this time of year to remind everybody that, there is no reason to drive impaired.
All right. When it comes to this coming Wednesday night, Mike, do you have advice for folks? Do you guys talk about, they used to call them designated drivers, that kind of thing?
Yeah. The best advice that can be given in this situation is simply to plan ahead. If you know you're going to go out, you know you're going to go to a party and have drinks and things of that sort, then you need to plan ahead because impairment starts with the first drink. So if you don't have that plan in place, your judgment is already clouded come time to drive.
Okay, and so that plan would involve a designated driver is the one that I mentioned. What else is sort of on that list?
Designated drivers are on that list for sure. The other thing is ride shares. There's getting to be a lot of those that are popping up now, even locally. So a ride share is a good way to make sure that you get home safely. And, if you have the ability to stay somewhere overnight at the party that you're at, absolutely stay.
When you're talking about rideshare, you mean Uber or Lyft are the two that I know of?
Yes.
Other ways to get home?
Right. So you can take public transportation if you have it available to you. The best advice, though,
is... A taxi, I guess, would be
likely. And the best advice really is just having that plan before you go out. Like Mike said, impairment begins with the first drink. So if you don't have that plan in place, then it becomes a problem when you're already impaired and trying to make a good decision about how to get home. I'd also mention that if you happen to live close to a bar or a restaurant that you like to go and have a few drinks at, that you can be impaired walking, and that can be dangerous as well. So always have, somebody sober with you or a safe way to get home.
Yeah, what do they call it? Public drunkenness, I guess, is the count that goes along with that if you're not too careful. I mean, you have to have done some infractions to get to that stage, but so be aware of that. Okay, so those are the quickie reminders. We'll get back to those. We're around a circle all the way back around. I learn something new every day on these interviews. It's Blackout Wednesday. I didn't know it had a name. Well, that's a terrible name. I hope that's not the true activity for some folks. All right, let's remind folks, for all the rest of us that aren't going to be driving impaired, remind folks about seat belts and child safety seats. Maybe we'll start with Mike and say, you know, go ahead and issue those reminders to folks about the danger of not using a seatbelt.
Absolutely. It comes down to the fact that seatbelts save lives. Your best defense against injury or fatality in a crash is the fact that you put that seatbelt on. It's the single most important thing you can do to protect yourself when you get into the vehicle. And for front seat occupant passengers, your risk of fatal injury goes down by 45% just by clicking that seatbelt. For light truck occupants, that risk is reduced by 60%.
Right, these are trucks aren't quite as, well, in the past, weren't as full of as many safety devices, as many airbags, things along this line. Plus, trucks, people in a pickup seem more likely not to wear a seatbelt. That's just my observation.
That's actually true.
Pretty accurate.
Okay. And more on this seatbelt / pickup truck / reminder.
Right. So they have, when they do seatbelt surveys, they look at the occupants who aren't wearing seatbelts, and it tends to be men. And I don't know the age off the top of my head, but it's up to about 34, I believe. Yeah, I don't have that age number in front of me, but it is younger men, and it is pickup truck drivers is the most common person that we see not wearing a seatbelt.
All right, so we're going to be aware of that and issue that reminder. And what about when you analyze traffic fatalities, sort of percentage-wise, I guess is it safe to extrapolate that seatbelts may have been a factor in how many fatalities, how many people who die in crashes aren't wearing seatbelts, I guess?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it does vary. I don't know that I have that number in front of me. Do I, Mike? I don't think I do. I know locally in District 3, it's been as high as 50% of our fatal crashes are people who are unbelted. When you look at that number, you might think, well, that's only half. But in reality, our seatbelt usage is about 90%. So when you look at only 10% of the people don't wear seatbelts, but about half of those are represented in fatal crashes, you can see that it really does make a difference.
All right, maybe seatbelts are kind of like the vaccination for vehicles.
Right.
It's like you're being unvaccinated.
Good analogy.
It's your choice, but unfortunately it's a more dangerous way to go in these particular days and times. Okay, so sometimes we see folks with DUI checkpoints and or maybe a public information campaign, that kind of thing. Do we have any of that, either stepped up enforcement or additional information coming out?
We do. There is a Click It or Ticket campaign that PA participates in. There's more than 600 municipal police departments and the Pennsylvania State Police that conduct enforcement waves during the periods in May and November. The current wave actually started November 15th and ends on November 28th. So they will be looking for those drivers and passengers who are unbelted.
And what does that entail? I know I hear the message, so I'm clear about that. Like the Sunbury PD sent us a note that they're going to be doing stepped-up patrols. This was about a week or so ago. What does that entail? What will they do, Kimberly?
So they get extra funding to pay for their services to go out and watch for traffic. And then basically, they are looking for reasons to pull people over. And if you are under the age of 18 in the car and it appears to be somebody under the age of 18 in the car without a seatbelt on, they can pull them over for that reason alone and give them a ticket. And then for anybody over that, so if they see me driving and think I don't have a seatbelt on, they would need another reason to pull me over. It's a secondary law for adults. But they would pull me over, and if I was not wearing a seatbelt, they would definitely give me a ticket for that. They also kind of do a campaign as far as just getting people out there and making them aware of a possibility, too. I think even the police here in Sunbury went to Shikellamy High School with the Shikellamy Police and were out there enforcing and encouraging seatbelt use with the students.
Right. Sometimes there's a demonstration associated with that kind of thing. Do we see more DUI checkpoints? Are you monitoring that? I know the North Central Highway Safety Network doesn't get too deeply involved in conducting them, but we're going to see more?
Yeah, we should be seeing more checkpoints over the holiday, as well as roving patrols, where there will be just more officers out on the streets looking for impaired driving behaviors.
All right. I will say to our audience that DUI checkpoints are really the culmination of about three or four initiatives within the local police and the regional police and the county and folks like yourselves that are on our show today. So it's harder to say that, yes, there will be some. We haven't been notified of any additional DUI patrols around here, but we will in the days ahead. State police always wait until the week of to kind of do their outreach, you know, so that it's top of the mind for folks that are going to be reminded about that. All right, well, just a moment left in this. Where can I get more information if I want more Thanksgiving and holiday safety seatbelt and impaired information, Mike?
More of that information can be found actually on PennDOT's website, and I will pass that to Kim to let you know that website.
Why don't we just ask?
You can just go to www.penndot.gov and you can put /safety and that'll take you right to our safety page.
All right. And that is Kimberly Smith, a safety press officer with PennDOT District 3-0, which is the regional, 11 counties around here?
We have nine counties.
Nine counties.
Yes.
Okay. I gave you a couple extra counties. So. All right. Well, some of the ones around here are pretty rural too. So that's a sprawling district. That includes Snyder. Union, Northumberland, and Montour. Nope, not Montour.
Montour and Columbia.
Oh, you're mm-hmm. in. They're in. Okay, yep. Good. All right, so that's that particular district. She goes to schools, as does Mike Deal, the Community Traffic Safety Coordinator with the Highway Safety Network. We're going to keep talking to them. When we come back, we'll reiterate the seatbelt topic, and we'll dig a little bit more deeply into the impaired driving, designated driving, buzzed driving starts to get talked about this time of year, and they have a list of tips for motorists. So we'll make sure that we're doing that reiteration of that. We talked in this segment primarily about a little bit about the buzz driving, but also seatbelts. And we'll talk about child safety seats, too, when we come back. I'm always amazed when the troopers tell us most, M-O-S-T, the majority of seats they check aren't properly installed. So that's a tough statistic right there.
News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Of course, we got one of the PennDOT bigwigs with us here to talk about you do traffic advisories sometimes, right?
I do. I've been watching my computer this morning for more information.
You and Maggie Baker do that, keeping us up to date literally 24/7, especially during times of storms or, you know, prolonged affairs where there's definitely going to be overnight changes in roads that are open and closed, and so we always appreciate that. And she, in this case, Kimberly Smith, PennDOT Safety Press Officer from PennDOT District 3-0, and we always talk to her with Mike Deal, the Community Traffic Safety Coordinator with the Highway Safety Network. Both cover regional entities. Both go into schools and businesses and places where trucking takes place and talk about safety and opportunities to be careful. They've done lots of things virtually. They got some things coming up at schools around here, but they can still go to a few things in person. So they've been to some schools around here. And again, the message on traffic safety, seatbelts, child seats, impaired driving, kind of the theme that they talk about. So we're going to continue that conversation. Thank you both for coming in today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Really do appreciate it. I'm always appreciative of these updates. Well, since we're headed towards what I've learned is now called Blackout Wednesday, so it had to have a good name since it seems to be a nationwide interest in doing some more partying on Wednesday night prior to Thanksgiving this Wednesday night. Let's talk about buzzed and drunk driving. So, Kimberly, tell us about, first of all, this definition. A new word pops up, buzzed driving, not too long ago.
Right. So, you know, we have in the state, we have awareness campaigns and we have enforcement campaigns. So when you hear drive sober or get pulled over, that's an enforcement campaign. But the, you know, buzz driving is drunk driving is more of a social campaign and letting people know that it's more than just people think of if you're falling down drunk, obviously you're too impaired to drive. But they don't realize that when you just have a slight buzz, you're, again, too impaired to drive. And so we like to remind people that impairment begins at the first sip.
There might be somebody who wouldn't be familiar with the vernacular of buzzed driving. This is when you feel as though you've had something to drink, which for me, I honestly don't drink too much. It happens really at two or three sips into something I'm drinking. But this is when you start to feel that you have had something to drink.
Yeah, this would be if you have a drink or a couple of drinks and you just start to feel different. And Kim was alluding to it there, but the best way to put it is if you feel different, you drive different.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. So you're saying that with the first sip, you know, it's not so much to impair me that I'm an unsafe driver, but with the first sip or the first drink, my ability to drive exactly how I would when I'm 100% sober, that's already starting to go down.
Absolutely. With that first drink, your reactionary time is already starting to slip.
And drunk driving. Tell me about how big an issue this still is in our world today.
Right. So, you know, I'm happy to report that numbers have been going down over the past few years. However, it's still an issue. So even one fatality due to an impaired driver is too many. But in Pennsylvania, during Thanksgiving period, which usually runs from the Wednesday before Thanksgiving through the weekend, because people are traveling back from wherever they were, in Pennsylvania last year, we had... I just lost my numbers. Actually, it wasn't last year. I will say in 5 years, over that period of time of Thanksgiving, we had 135 drivers involved in fatal crashes. So nearly 800 people died nationwide in that period of time in fatal crashes. So if you think about that, that's 800 people in 50 states that passed away just during that period because of impaired driving. That's not counting all the people that had serious injuries that have life-altering, you know, consequences, too. So it is a problem, and even one fatality is too many.
Well, and sometimes the drunk driver kills someone else. I mean, that's mixed into these fatalities. It's hard to see that, but, you know, you have this tragic situation where somebody is impaired and causing a fatality. So that's mixed into these numbers?
Yes, it is. Yes, this is any person who was killed in an impaired driving crash, doesn't matter if they were a passenger or even a pedestrian that the impaired driver hit, is anybody that died due to an impaired driver.
Or another vehicle, you know, and you often hear about charges filed against somebody for homicide by vehicle, DUI, because they were drunk and they were driving and they killed somebody, and they, of course, survived that crash. So that's just a tough burden for someone to carry just so that you can go out and drink. Describe impairment. If I say impairment, what am I talking about? So my reactions are slower, like if I see a deer, instead of taking a full eighth of a second to hit the brakes, it's a quarter of a second, something like that?
Yeah. Reactionary time is going to slow down. Your ability to recognize danger and then actually take action to prevent a crash or something of that sort is going to slow down. And it goes beyond reactionary time. It goes into your fine motor skills, your ability to handle the wheel, your ability to move your foot from the gas to the brake. It affects the entire body.
All right, so this is an opportunity for you not only to, your reaction time is slower, but your decision making, you know, should I brake? Or if you, I think, of course, if you see a deer, you know to brake. But if you see traffic, sort of unusual traffic merging and lane changes and that kind of things, that's maybe your decision making will be impaired as well. And this buzzed driving, that's the other thing that I wanted to ask Kimberly about also, this idea that this is just not, you're not blatantly drunk. In fact, you may not be legally drunk per se, but you're impaired.
Right. So our legal limit in Pennsylvania for most adults is 0.08. If you have a CDL license, it's actually 0.04. But you can be at a 0.03, and if you're still showing signs of impairment, they can still arrest you for that. The 0.08 just pretty much guarantees you're going to get a DUI. But if you're showing signs of impairment, they're going to arrest you. And keep in mind that when we say impaired driving and not drunk driving, it's because impairment can be drugs as well. So you could have a, you know, blood alcohol content of zero, but be impaired by drugs. And that can be an illegal drug, it can be an over-the-counter drug, and it can be a prescription drug. So anything that impairs your ability to drive, you can be arrested for. So if I had a head cold, I decided to take a bunch of NyQuil, and then decided to get in my car and drive somewhere, I could be impaired because NyQuil makes me really sleepy and tired. And so anything that impairs your driving, you can be arrested for.
Well, that has alcohol in it, though.
So a little bit.
you wouldn't have a zero impact on that. But, yeah, well, and I think its whole purpose is to help you sleep. So it just would be make no sense to use that prior to driving. Okay, so that's buzzed and impaired driving. And one of the things you repeat is that not specifically click it or ticket, but lots of additional DUI enforcement and message sending will take place this week.
Right, yeah. We call it PA Safe Holiday, and they have extra enforcement to go out and do impaired driving patrols and checkpoints basically between Thanksgiving and New Year's, because that's a whole holiday period. We have a lot of holiday parties going on, a lot of get-togethers, and so they're out there looking for those impaired drivers to keep everybody safe.
All right. Anything else to say about drivers that are under the influence? Anything to add to that conversation before we move on? Okay. Let's talk about motorcycles, too, while we're having this conversation. I am always surprised in October and November, less so in December and January, but we still see a lot of motorcycles out there.
Yeah, I saw one just yesterday. I was quite surprised because it was pretty chilly out there, but there are some diehard riders out there that will get bundled up and ride their motorcycles, and just like seatbelts in cars, we like to remind everybody to put that helmet on. It's what you can do to protect yourself in a crash. You know, helmets do save lives as well. And there are some parts of the law that require helmet use. If you have a permit, motorcycle permit, not a license, and if you're under the age of 21, you must have a helmet on. But really, for everybody, it's a safe thing to do.
All right. And do you talk about helmets? Is that sort of part of the activity level that you're involved in, Mike?
Yeah, we do education on motorcycle safety and the importance of wearing your helmets, just like wearing your seatbelt.
All right, yeah, and you see a lot of experienced riders still wearing helmets out here, but you still see some riders are choosing not to wear helmets, which is perfectly legal, but, you know, it's just another safety precaution you can easily take to help you in the event of a crash. Child seats, we should probably mention that briefly. Do you get involved in conversations about child seats, Mike?
Yeah, we do. Actually, we just did a car seat safety program. But yeah, we discuss child safety seats. We actually participate in car seat check events where we will actually check motorists' car seats to make sure that they're installed properly and safely.
All right. And safety seats on your
Yeah. So I'm a child passenger safety technician, as Mike is as well. You had mentioned in the last segment that most child safety seats aren't used correctly. Safe Kids Worldwide actually puts a number at 75%. And it might necessarily be that you have it installed incorrectly. Maybe you have it too loose, but it also could be that maybe the harness isn't being worn correctly, or maybe the harness is too loose. The chest clip isn't at the armpit level for the child. There's a lot of different things that we see that are common mistakes. Not that a person doesn't mean to do well, but they're just not aware of the dangers and what the proper use is. So we encourage everybody to get a free child safety seat check, and you can do that by contacting your local police barracks, PSP. But also, there's a great resource out there called the ultimatecarseatguide.com. It's put on by Safe Kids, but you can actually go in there and put in your child's age and weight and height, and it will tell you the style of seat that you should be using. And you can also watch videos on there for installation and some common tips and things that they see wrong. So it's a great resource if you don't have the ability to get a free child safety seat quickly before the holiday. You can go on that website and get some great tips on there.
Ultimate Car Seat
Guide.
UltimateCarSeatGuide.com. Wow, who knew? All right, and so that should be easy for folks to go to. Yeah, we know the Milton Barracks, 570-524-2662. They do child safety seat checks. That might have been the one that you were just at that you made reference to. Or
I actually didn't attend that one.
Not that particular
one.
Not
that particular one.
We've seen you at other ones, so we know that you're out there, and both of our guests get around. All right, well, we have really just a moment left. Anything else to emphasize to our audience? Anything else to say?
I would just add, you know, besides seatbelts and impaired driving, you know, keep in mind that distracted driving is anything that takes your mind off the task of driving, or your hands off the wheel, or your eyes off the road. So even hands-free driving is a distraction. So if you're, you know, in your travels for Thanksgiving, please avoid distractions.
All right. And yeah, a lot of cars have lane holders. I bought a new truck that has a lane holder. Boy, it's intoxicating. It really gets you. Anything else to add, Mike?
Just everybody, please be careful. Be mindful of what you're doing while you're driving, and make sure that you're staying focused on that task.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. Mike Deals, a community traffic safety coordinator in the Highway Safety Network. I am so slow. It was only today, after knowing both of these men for 10 years, that he has the same name as Mike Deal, the magistrate. I'm so foolish. I tried to put a new number in for him in our contacts, and the magistrate came up. So Mike Deal, the community traffic safety coordinator from the Highway Safety Network. And Kimberly Smith here, one of a kind, no duplicates in any way, safety press officer. PennDOT District 3-0. Thank you both again so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.